Twin Cities News Talk. My name is John Justice, and there's producer Robbie. New segment, new guest for a Monday. Mondays with AK. AK Kamara, a conservative online opinionator, will be joining us at 8:20 this morning. We'll talk about cloned meat. They're calling it something else because they don't think that cloned meat is anything that you're going to want to eat. But you're probably not going to want to. But we'll talk to him about that, and we'll dive into the FTX situation. If you missed any portion of Robbie's rundown in the first hour, be sure you listen to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app once the show has wrapped up this morning. A lot of great stories, including the COVID unrest, the riots taking place in China. We're going to talk a bit more about Biden suggesting an assault weapons ban in the wake of the most recent shooting. We have some talkbacks.
The man who leaves 300,000 AR-15s and M4s and another $81 million worth of military hardware behind for the Taliban wants to lecture us on how many semi-automatic weapons are out there. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Why the heck would they put in mandates or anything to handle long COVID? All long COVID is dealing with the long-term effects of having had COVID. And you're going to see a lot more people with that now, especially among the vaccinated. So, what... That's a dumb excuse. Why don't they just say what they want to do? We want to control you.
Yes.
Run your lives and make you live in fear.
You know, Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty. Good morning, sir. Nice to talk to you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did.
You know,
recuperating.
At this point, I feel like the left, however you know you want to label the authoritarians, I feel like if they were just, you know, openly honest about their intentions, like, there'd be people that would go along with it. I don't know how many people, but I feel like there would be people that would simply go, okay, you want to control more of my life and I don't have to have nearly as much responsibility. I won't make nearly as much money. I won't have as much success as I could, but clearly you feel like you know better than I am. Please, by all means, rule me. I feel like there are too many people out there that would actually go and accept that.
Well, that's just it, right? I mean, that's what they're counting on, is that there's a substantial portion of the population that is like, yes, give me more control, or give me more controls on my life. And then another substantial portion of the population that is like completely disinterested. And I'm just going to try to go and live my life. And oh my God, oh, there's a rule here. And what they're hoping is that the rest of us, you know, won't take notice until it's far too late. And I think certainly, COVID and what happened, what the governments did during COVID, was a test case for this, showing just how much,
yeah,
you know, people were willing to take before they turned around. You know, you think about it, John, we were still conversing every Monday during the pandemic, and Lord knows I was wrong about this, because I thought that most Americans would have had it, you know, by about June or July of 2020, but we went almost a whole nother year before Americans finally said, you know something, enough is enough. We're done with this. Let's move on already and start living our lives normally.
Well, and that's why, in just, you know, I'll repeat a bit of my commentary from the first part of the hour. I mean, that's what the unrest going on in China because of their own measures. It's very, and I hope I'm wrong, but it's very eerily reminiscent of when we first heard about, you know, the coronavirus. I'll never forget in December of 2019, first reporting on this virus and this outbreak in China and all the videos that weren't necessarily tied to the pandemic in and of itself that started coming out of the region and the blackouts, and not even, you know, it wasn't even conceivable that we would end up dealing with what we ended up dealing with. And I see these demonstrations taking place, and I couple that with the Health and Human Services ahead of Thanksgiving, you know, issuing their suggestion that we either, you know, promote, masks again, or mandate masks again for long COVID. You know, the inability that Congress has had to change the emergency rules. And I just kind of go, man, I feel like they're going to try this again and continue to hold this power via the pandemic over the American public.
Well, listen, it may not be because of COVID, right? Again, you know, Americans, a lot of Americans are moving on from this, but it sets it all up for whatever the next big thing is.
Yeah.
And we warn against this. I mean, Ryan, you and I both sort of lead with our small L libertarian, you know, feet forward. And, you know, we certainly saw this back, you know, in the Patriot Act era. you know, we've seen this actually to tie it back into what Joe Biden talked about on Thanksgiving of all days, right? The concept of red flag laws and how those can be abused. You know, all of these things, we've been to this dance many times, and what we know is that there are these test balloons that go up, and some of them are full-fledged, like, you know, what happened in 2020 with COVID. Some of them are a little bit more subtle, but they all just get refined over time. And so, you know, these are instruments that authoritarians can use to control people. And so it may not be, you know, COVID or long COVID or what have you, but whatever the next thing is, that's, you know, where these techniques will come back into play.
Well, and the current condition of the United States economy plays into that. That, you know, the more people are fearful and uncertain of their future, you know, the more willing they are going to be to accept some of these more authoritarian rules. You know, and it's interesting because the moment you go and suggest, it's anecdotal, but the moment you go and suggest, you know, any sort of frustration over the potential for, you know, a renewed encouragement to wear masks, immediately people jump on board going, oh, you're just whining, whatever, it's not a big deal. I mean, it just seeks to further divide us. But again, you know, sort of getting back to my comment, you know, the way things are here in the U.S. and what Biden has done to the country, you know, clearly a part of this is by design because it keeps, you know, it keeps fear in the minds of average individuals and makes what they're pushing forward more readily acceptable.
It's interesting you bring that up, John, because I've seen these conversations and, you know, I've been in, you know, groups of mixed political company where folks are just sort of carping about, you know, oh, I was at the doctor's office and someone came in and didn't want to wear their mask. And the doctor was like, well, those are the rules. And, you know, it's just a simple thing. Just wear the damn mask. Right? We're back to wear the damn mask. And it's like, you know, at some point in time, even if it's these sort of simple little things, you know, many humans, maybe this is being bred out of us, I don't know, but, you know, at least up until the pandemic, there was a gene in humans that sort of, you know, chafed at this kind of, well, you know, it's a simple thing, so just do it anyway. But I think that for a substantial portion of the population, again, they're stepping up there and they're saying, no, I know this, you may see that this is simple, but, you know, this is just virtual signaling. I know that masks don't work. You know, that I know that they didn't work then, they're not working now, and you are just doing this so that you can show me that you can do this, you know, that this mandate that's on me. And I'm now just not going to comply. You don't forget it, or, you know, I will go elsewhere. Anyway, that's where we are.
Well, and here's the proof of that. Anecdotal, but this is true. So, you know, all the visits that I have to the doctors, thankfully not as much anymore, but all the ones that I'd had, the routine was comical because whenever you go to any doctor's office, I don't care what doctor's office you're going to, whichever one, you still have to go and wear a mask inside. But yeah. Every time I actually get to the room and after the nurse sees me, I take it off.
Yeah.
And nobody asked me to put it back on. I'll even ask them if they want me to, and they say, yeah, don't worry about it. It is complete and utter style over substance. I mean, and again, just anecdotal, but there's your example.
But again, and let's get back to follow the science, right? Which was the mantra for so many months during the height of all of this. And yet, you know, when it comes down to basic evolutionary virology, we know that as viruses mutate and get more ubiquitous, they get less lethal. So yes, the incidences of transmission are going to go up, even with vaccines, right? It's certainly, you know, and this idea that now we need to get vaxxed and boosted, even though the vaccines are not preventing anybody from getting COVID, and certainly not getting COVID multiple times, yet we're still being pushed on this. But the reality is, yeah, COVID is going to be with us for a very good reason. This is the way viruses evolve over time.
Well, you know, and take the same mentality and apply it to gun control. Because we've reached that same level as it relates to gun control. We, you know, the points continue to be argued, and they need to be argued. You know, there can be, you know, you cannot relent, even though they've been repeated over and over again. But I would venture a guess that most people sort of understand the style over substance of many of these calls for gun control and just this need to go and do something. Which brings us to the latest, you know, in the wake of this horrific shooting that took place at the nightclub. You have, you know, Joe Biden out talking about a semi-automatic weapons ban again. And you had mentioned, and I mentioned it earlier, just talking about how this, you know, could potentially impact the Georgia runoff race coming up next week.
Actually, interestingly, before we get to that, because sure. I should have sent this to you earlier,
yeah.
and I didn't. You know, on this issue of going down these roads and wondering if people can change their minds about things, there was a really interesting piece last week in the Atlantic, of all places. And I continue to read the Atlantic because every once in a while there is a piece like this. And it was a piece authored by a woman named Juliette Kayyem. She is a former deputy secretary of the Department of Homeland Security under Obama. So we're talking about someone who is a lefty. She teaches at the Kennedy School of Government. And the title of the piece is Rethinking Run, Hide, Fight, right? Which is the whole mantra in the wake of these shootings. The left, again, the compliant left tells you, you know, you should run away or you should hide, or at the last result, you should fight. And as she pointed out, it was someone taking the opportunity to go and tackle this assailant. Now, this was not a good guy with a gun, though. If he'd had a gun, I'm sure it would have been quicker and easier. But someone who you know, fought back in this regard. And my point in all of this is, if you can get a former Obama administration official to start to write pieces and the Atlantic starts publishing pieces that say, you know, maybe we need to rethink this stupid policy of submission, then maybe there is hope out there. And so I commend folks to go and read this. I tweeted it out. It's really good. Now, on this, you know, I was on the air on Friday. I was on the air on Thursday as well. But, you know, when the president said, you know, he wants to, the idea that anybody should have a semi-automatic weapon, and let's remember that a semi-automatic weapon is a weapon that when you pull the trigger, you know, it reloads the next round
sure.
into the chamber. You know, and there are, out of the 300 million firearms that are out there, probably a good two-thirds of them, 66% of them, are semi-automatic weapons. For Biden to sort of wade into this and say he wants to get an assault weapons ban in the lame duck Congress is just so profoundly stupid of him. I mean, listen, unless he thinks that they've got the Senate runoff in Georgia all wrapped up, I know a lot of Georgians who are going to sit there and go, yeah, we want to make sure that this can't happen, so we're going to make sure that we vote for the guy who's going to vote against the assault weapons ban going into Congress this next session.
Well, I think it speaks to, you know, Biden and his, you know, his declining cognitive ability and this struggle that's come out in a couple of different pieces that it seems the White House has with, you know, sort of the agenda of the individuals around the president and then the president in and of himself. They can't completely take away his voice. He still has to be able to, you know, give his opinion, which is why so often the White House press secretary has to walk back the statements that he makes, because it runs headlong into what the individuals around him really want him to do, but they can't very well tell him exactly what to say all the time, and so you end up getting potential missteps like this.
Well, that's why today's press conference is going to be so interesting. Listen, especially in light of the fireworks last week between Corinne Jean-Pierre and the press corps over the origins of COVID. You know, how much Corinne Jean-Pierre is going to have to walk back Biden's statements on semi-automatic weapons is going to be, if she does it at all. I mean, this is, of course, the great new era that we're now in which we have a press secretary who out and out refuses to answer questions, you know, that are legitimate questions, right? I mean, this is a legitimate question. Because even if you are the most hardcore lefty, you have to have some kind of admission, given the way that we've gone over the last four decades talking about gun control, that there is a difference between, at least supposedly in the left's minds, between a traditional semi-automatic weapon or non-cosmetically different semi-automatic weapon and what the left considers to be an assault weapon, which is, of course, as we all know, just a cosmetic thing usually. Now, unless, you know, Joe Biden finally said the quiet part out loud, or the left is going to finally admit that he said the quiet part out loud, she's going to have some serious explaining to do about the differentiation, again, given the fact that a full two-thirds of the firearms that are out there, legal firearms that are out there, are semi-automatic.
Talking with Andrew Langer this morning, as we do every Monday here on Twin Cities News Talk. Before we let you go, Gavin Newsom told President Joe Biden that he's backing his expected 2024 reelection campaign, saying he not only beat Trump once, I think he can beat him again. The California governor said of Biden, even going so far as to say that he would not run, he wouldn't challenge him, nor if Biden didn't run, would he run. It was a trip to D.C. this past summer. He wanted Ron Klain and Jill Biden to know that he was all in for the president's 2024 plan. Again, and went on, said, if even if Biden reverses course and opts out for a reelection bid, the governor did not rule out a 2028 campaign. So, I don't know. What do you make of this? I just thought it was interesting. When you look at the Democrat bench, I mean, he was kind of one of the few individuals that I actually looked at with cause of concern. And I still personally am convinced that Joe Biden's not going to run in 24, but I could be wrong on that.
Well, you know, there are rumblings that Wes Moore, who is the newly elected governor of Maryland, he hasn't even done anything yet. He hasn't taken office yet. That that folks in the Democratic circles are clearing the baffles for an unimpeded Wes Moore run either in 2024 or 2028. I think, you know, Newsom, at least right now, is making the risk calculus that if Biden runs against Trump, Biden can win again, and he knows that historically, a party that has a primary challenge in a re-election bid tends to not survive the general election bid, even if they survive the primary. But he also may be looking at the idea that if Biden doesn't run against Trump, he doesn't want to run the risk of losing to whoever the GOP puts up, to run against Biden. So. You know, listen, Newsom, even though he's in California and being a Democrat in California is like, stealing home and not realizing that you were born on second base. but, you know, he can make a risk calculus and he sees sort of the writing on the wall here. And he does not want to be the cause of Democrats losing in 2024.
Well, no. And when you look, I just looked it up. When you look at his age, he's only 55. I mean, So, you know, in terms of political years, he's got right now kind of all the time in the world. If he wants to wait based off of the median, age of, of the current and past presidents. So, for crying out loud. So, I immediately go, that makes sense. You're 55. Why would you want to, this cycle of all cycles? Why would you want to go and stick your head out at this point in time? Let somebody else do it and maybe make a run later on. So, what
that's exactly? I think he could be a governor of California and make that state the model of progressive policy. And time is a great thickener.
I used to love that place. Still love Disneyland, but California in and of itself once.
Yeah.
Although policy wise, we're right behind them. Yay, Andrew Langer. President of the Institute for Liberty. Also, what's on the latest podcast? We had a holiday, but have you guys been able to put something out?
We had that go dark last week because Jerry was sick, so I have a brand new Andrew and Jerry Save the World this week. But we go and check out the Lunch Hour podcast with the Federal Newswire. Last week, Paul Teller. This week, Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois. So please go check those out.
Andrew Langer, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Bye.
Friend of the show, Rob Dorr, Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, tweeted, Biden doesn't want to only ban so-called assault weapons. He also wants to ban semi-automatic weapons that include your Remington 1100 shotgun, your Ruger 10/22. I used to use it to teach DNR safety to 10-year-olds. So, yeah, well, look, and none of this should come as any surprise at all. You see at these rash of shootings, and you're going to have the president or somebody else on the left coming out and wanting to push for more gun control. And I don't expect that these shootings are going to diminish anytime soon. There's still too much uncertainty in the country. if you had had this midterm election go predominantly one way or the other, I think it would have stemmed a lot of the concern that people have. But it really ends up being kind of a draw. And that continues to sort of breed uncertainty in the country. Even if you're on the left, I still feel like if the right had won, there would be, even on a subconscious level, this idea that, okay, well, they're in charge now. Maybe, you know, things will change. But right now, no, it's going to be status quo moving forward. Speaking of the election, we'll do a bit of a recap on what happened in Maricopa County. Some really interesting details coming out of the largest county in Arizona. They'll be certifying the elections this morning, so all the challenges are kind of going out the window. But a fantastic piece from Shauna Fleetwood talking about Maricopa County and the elections are even more of a disaster than people realize. And we have Vikings tickets to see the Vikings take on the Jets this Sunday, December 4th, to give away before the end of today's show. So be listening for your chance to call in and pick up a pair of Vikings tickets versus the Jets coming up this Sunday on Twin Cities News.
To share it with you, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
1 hour from now, new segment here on Twin Cities News Talk with me, John Justice, producer Robbie. Mondays with AK Kamara, conservative online opinionator, opinionator, who'll be joining us in the studio at 8:20. Got a couple of things. We'll talk fake meat and FTX. That's on the docket. I'm gonna hold off on just because I found this and I need to talk about this with you. I want to get to this Maricopa County elections deal, but I happened to be on Twitter a moment ago and. In a moment of serendipity, this article popped up. It's not just COVID, flu, and it's not just COVID. Flu and RSV mean masks need to come back. Now, this comes out of NBC News. It's written by an individual who's a research associate at People, Place, and Health Collective, along with an assistant professor of epidemiology at Brown University School of Public Health, and another individual who's got a postdoctoral research associate in epidemiology at Brown University. Okay, so super smart people when it comes to this stuff. However, they're incredibly stupid as it relates to the damage that masks do to the public, especially our young people. I want to share with you some points from this piece, because this is where this is heading. Entering the holiday season this year, surging COVID-19 cases overwhelmed hospitals. Entering the holiday season last year. This year, hospitals have been overwhelmed by a combination of COVID, RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus, and the flu. Along with RSV, the record number of flu cases pushing pediatric hospitals near capacity is a worrisome signal that the current flu season will be the worst in years. Facing a particularly acute crisis, pediatric hospitals have called upon President Joe Biden to declare an emergency to provide more resources to respond to the current surges. Okay, first off, let's stop here. One, the uptick in RSV is directly related to the fact that we masked our children because they weren't exposed to other viruses that would have made them immune. So typically RSV runs in younger children, but now we're seeing it beyond the younger ages and getting into older children now that typically didn't get it. And it's because they were masked up, they weren't exposed to other viruses and illnesses, and now they were more susceptible once we went and took the masks off. As it relates to providing more resources to respond to the current surges, no. Because we already know that money gets wasted. I have a story later on in the show. Hundreds, if not billions, if not trillions of dollars wasted. Representative James Comer on Meet the Press on Sunday told Chuck Todd that the Republican-led committee would investigate the hundreds of billions of dollars in COVID-related funding while accusing Democrats of misusing it to focus on left-wing social issues. We never saw the uptick of available beds in our hospitals, even though we poured millions of dollars at the problem. Getting back to this ridiculous piece, this triple demic of flu, COVID, and RSV is a reminder that even as the pandemic ends, and the threat of seasonal respiratory viruses remains. Thankfully, our toolkit for tackling them is similar to what works to suppress COVID alone, starting with the most basic and flexible level of protection, masking. When and where respiratory viruses are surging, mask mandates should be reinstated. Masks work, they write. Critically, they don't need to work perfectly to have a positive impact. A recent study found that Boston school districts that had lifted mandates averaged 45 more COVID cases per 1,000 students and staff than those mandates. Other evidence suggests that masks are effective against influenza as well, and some scientists suggesting that widespread masks during the first 2 years of a pandemic contribute to the historically low rates of flu and RSV observed in those years, of which they're arguing there's an uptick now. And why do you think that is? Not to mention the psychological damage that has been done to this country, especially our young people and our youth, having them cover their faces at crucial moments in their life when they should be able to see the faces of adults and their friends and are now dealing with untold amounts of psychological damage and harm that the left has absolutely been taking advantage of every single dangerous step of the way. As I said earlier in the show, we've got to remain vigilant and on top of this now, because this is what the real authoritarians want in this country. Power over you. And this is how they get it. You combine this with a down economy that continues to be perpetuated by this administration, the fear-mongering that takes place in the wake of horrific shootings, and it all makes the American public more susceptible to control from the radical progressives that want nothing more than to have their hold, the stranglehold on every single aspect of your life. 651-989-5855. All right, coming up, we will get to the Maricopa County elections, even a bigger disaster than people realize. Plus, we'll give you details on what happened with Alyssa Milano over the weekend after she took to Twitter saying that because of white supremacy, I'm getting rid of my Tesla for a Volkswagen. Twin Cities News Talk on your smart speakers at home. On the iHeartRadio app. Producer Robbie going through your talkbacks. We'll get to some of those coming up. And again, next hour, online conservative online, however you want to call them. Opinionator A.K. Kamara will be joining us in studio at 8:20. Looking forward to talking with him about how next Thanksgiving you could be eating cloned turkey. For now, if you decide to do so. Listen, as it relates to the commentary I was giving a moment ago, I want to clear something up on that as well. In large part, the issue as it relates to masking the children in RSV was also because of the mitigation efforts that happened via the lockdowns, kids not being in school as well. The other efforts that we were making to distance ourselves and just our kids who were the least vulnerable from COVID now are the ones that are suffering the most when they never should have had these mitigation efforts put forward on them. And again, the psychological harm that these masks do, we're going to be dealing with this we already are. I think you can directly attribute the lack of social interaction that we've seen with so many of these other various issues that dominate the headlines on a daily basis, to continue to think that the masking up of individuals and pushing forward mitigation efforts again is the way to go is false thinking. I get it. These doctors are smart. They know what they're talking about, but they're looking at it from one angle of a particular issue and not looking at the long-term ramifications of what it does to somebody mentally. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. And of course, you can use the talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app.
Where did the common sense go in America? use soap and water. Stop using all of the hand sanitizer and screwing up your immune system. Stop listening to all of the stupid mask mandates where it has been proven that the masks don't work anyways because you're touching your face with your hands, which is where your sickness is coming from.
Hi, John. As of the end of October, the Minnesota Department of Health just recently changed its stance regarding masking in medical facilities. They now no longer require it, and they leave it up to the medical facility themselves to make that determination. I think if more people would push back and just stop wearing the masks when they go to the doctor's office, that the clinics would quickly decide that it's just not worth the fight anymore. Thanks.
Yeah, I tend to agree, although I was at one particular doctor's office where we stepped off the elevator and there was a Karen behind the counter. It was like, mask, got to have your mask. I mean, shame. Right? That's what it felt like. It felt like shame. You got to get. I'm like, geez, relax.
What was the weirdest place you were asked to put a mask on, would you say, during COVID?
Oh, I don't know if I have them. I don't know. Do you have one?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, you do yours because I don't think I had them.
Yeah. I mean,
you had to mask up everywhere for crying out loud.
I was in Vegas and they asked me to put a mask on as my friends and I walked into the dispensary. And I was just like, why?
Yeah. Look, and I have no. Look, you hand it over. You hand over the power, you know, to the various institutions, let them decide. I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. It's all, but again, it's all style over substance. As I mentioned with Andrew Langer, you know, now when I go in, as soon as I get past the nurse, I take it off. When somebody comes back in again, they don't ask me to put it back on. Even when I was like, if I'm a mask, I'm like, no, don't worry about it. They don't care. Anyway. All right. Let's put a period on this. Maricopa County will be certifying its election this morning. However, it was even more disastrous than people realize. And there's a lot of points in here that I wanted to share because I think there's just facets of what happened in Maricopa County that a lot of people weren't aware of that I wasn't aware of either. So this is looking at the Election Integrity Network. They trained upwards of 50,000 poll watchers, poll workers, and other roles for ongoing citizen engagement in the election process over the year leading up to the 2022 midterms. They ended up sending out a survey to its on-the-ground volunteers following Election Day to gauge how things went. Now, the responses from election workers in key battleground states around the country showed a mostly calm election cycle compared to 2020, with one massive and overwhelming exception, the Maricopa County, Arizona election. The workers there were appalled and aghast at how things had been run there. As soon as we sent the survey out, we were flooded with responses showing they had no confidence in how the election had been run there. This is according to the executive director of Election Integrity Network, Marshall Yates, to the Federalist. Maricopa, which is home to 62% of Arizona's 7.2 million people, was already in the news on Election Day for its hours-long lines and broken machines. It took the county just under 2 weeks to count ballots. Election Day workers flooded the survey response team with stories of incompetence, chaos, and mismanagement that resulted in the disenfranchisement of voters. This was a horrible thing to experience. Poll workers conveyed a shocking lack of competence. It actually looked like willful incompetence. Unfortunately, these accounts are among the many reported incidents of failed election administration seen throughout Maricopa on Election Day and the days that followed. From finicky ballot tabulator machines to probable violations of state law, the seemingly endless slew of problems witnessed by Maricopa residents was a clear-cut example of how not to run an election. Now, one aspect of this that I had complained about, I was actually wrong about, and that is how you can go and vote in Maricopa County, unlike most states, and I did not know this, where citizens vote at their local neighborhood-based precinct. Arizona does allow for its counties to adopt a voter center model where voters are permitted to cast their ballots at any center within their voting jurisdiction, regardless of their address. So I thought it was like it is elsewhere, where you can only vote in a particular location, and this could lead to individuals not being able to vote at all. But it turns out, no, you can go to different polling locations. There's no way to know how many individuals were turned down at one particular location and did or did not go to another location. They didn't keep track of that. There was another issue that arose, though, with regard to the way that they do their ballots in Maricopa County. Now, upon arriving at one of these centers, Maricopa voters check in by providing their state-approved ID, at which point a ballot-on-demand printer produces a ballot that is filled out by the voter and run through a vote tabulation machine. County election officials have admitted, however, this is not the process experienced by thousands of Maricopa voters on Election Day, when printers with misconfigured settings in at least 70 of Maricopa's 223 voting locations printed ballots that were rejected by many of the center's vote tabulator machines. The vote center model failed most spectacularly because it relies on this ballot-on-demand printer model, and you can't pre-order paper ballots and have them ready for voters ahead of time. This is according to Gina Swoboda, executive director of the Voter Reference Foundation. It's just a bad system. It does not function well in Maricopa County and leads us to be exposed to a complete failure of the system on Election Day. Now, while the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors Chairman Bill Gates told voters experiencing difficulties that they were permitted to leave and cast their ballot at a different voting center, the unfamiliarity among voters and election workers with the official checkout procedures led to even more pandemonium. According to the Arizona Attorney General's office, many of the voters who left their original vote center without properly checking out were told upon arriving at another location that the county's e-poll book system had marked them as having already voted. Maricopa voters were furthermore told by Gates and the county recorder, Stephen Richer, that they had the option of placing their non-tabulated ballot in a bin called Door 3, which would be taken to the county central's counting center after polls closed to be processed. Maricopa County election officials, however, allegedly botched segregating, transporting, and tabulating the ballots, leading to a potential violation of state law and some of the estimated 17,000 Door 3 ballots getting mixed in with ballots already tabulated. Now, coupled with the tendency among Republican voters to cast their ballots on Election Day, the incredible mismanagement by Maricopa election officials potentially disenfranchised enough voters to swing the results of some of Arizona's most contested elections. In addition to the Attorney General's race, the gubernatorial contest between Hobbs, who oversaw the conduction of her own election, and Republican Carrie Lake was also relatively close, with Hobbs beating Lake by roughly 17,000 votes, which is what estimated some of those violations took place. Try as they might to downplay their administrative failures, Gates and Richer can't hide the effect that Maricopa's abysmal voting problems had on the state election systems. Even 84% of surveyed Maricopa election observers and workers reported they are not all that confident that Arizona's election results are completely accurate and honest. Printer tabulation, printer problems, tabulation errors, three long hour lines, and even longer and confusing instructions given by election officials made this election day the most chaotic in Arizona's history. That was according to Lake in a video recently posted. The 2022 general election in Arizona was botched and broken beyond repair. This isn't about Republicans or Democrats. This is about our sacred right to vote, a right that many voters were sadly deprived of on November 8th. And look, one takeaway from this, and we'll see. But what will be interesting to see is if other states, Minnesota, end up trying to adopt similar rules as to what they did in Arizona. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying that typically, if you have the opportunity to go and make things more confusing and difficult under the guise of making things easier, the left seems to want to go and take advantage of it. I got a kick out of this one. Laughed out loud when I saw it. Actress Alyssa Milano was blasted on Twitter, including by Elon Musk. "I gave back my Tesla," said Milano. For those that don't know, a prominent supporter of Democrats said this on Twitter, posted on Saturday. "I bought a Volkswagen. I love it. I'm not sure how advertisers can buy space on Twitter. Publicly traded companies' products being pushed in alignment with hate and white supremacy doesn't seem to me to be a winning business model." We'll talk to AK Kamara about this. I still don't see any problems with Twitter, by the way. I know people keep complaining, but I have not seen any issues whatsoever with this. I did a little research on Mastodon this morning. That just looks confusing.
Yeah.
Have you looked at that at all, by the way?
Yes,
it
briefly.
Looks very, very confusing. I mean, anything new like that looks confusing. But there's a reason why Twitter's been so popular, just because it's user-friendly. Twitter users, many of them conservative, criticized Milano over the tweet, many pointing out that the Volkswagen ties to the Nazi Party during the early days of its inception. Volkswagen was literally founded by the Nazis and Hitler.
Come on, you know what theme this is, right?
Of course. Yeah. LULZ, the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, tweeted, along with references to Volkswagen's beginnings as the state-sponsored automotive company during Hitler's raid in Germany. Representative for Alyssa Milano did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Milano's tweet suggested that she had found a way to give back her Tesla in response to Musk's recent purchase of Twitter and the controversy that has surrounded his decision to bring back accounts that had been removed for violating the company's terms of service, including former President Donald Trump. Although Elon Musk came out and said that he would support DeSantis in 2024. So now he's got half the country of liberals who don't like him anymore, and now he has half of the Republican Party who don't like him anymore. But if you're Elon Musk, you can do that. He has just one vote, by the way. And if you're taking your voting cues from Elon Musk, you're right, you probably shouldn't be voting in the first place. Or Alyssa Milano, for that matter.
Nobody's asking who's the boss with Elon Musk.
Can't get there fast enough.
Waka waka!
Look, as it relates to Alyssa Milano, the blue checkmark Twitter celebrities, they are children level political commentators. Right? They whine and moan and think about as deep as a kiddie pool about the issues they espouse that they care about and know so much about. Cracked me up. Elon Musk responded to this too with a laughing emoji.
I gave back my Tesla. Got a Volkswagen.
Should have got a Kia.
You're a Kia boy?
I like my Kia. I like my Kia very much.
I know you do.
Yeah, I know. I used to be a Honda guy. And no offense. I just don't like the way they've redesigned their cars.
I love when people say no offense, because it's almost like no offense. Oh, you know, I was okay there until you said no offense, and now
I know.
You
know. I know. I totally did that.
Yeah,
I totally did.
This is just a word salad with no substance.
And you know I didn't want to make you feel bad. I know you probably love your car. Could you drive a Honda?
A lot of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
All around is not a sign of hypocrisy. Nothing but sincerity as far as the eye can see.
I mean, just dripping behind the glass. Dripping.
No, but, you know, I mean, look, the look of automobiles is subjective, just like anything, you know, anything else of that nature.
It's like the look of women or men.
Yeah, that's right. It's all subjective. But I used to like the styling of the Hondas a lot more. But I love my I love my Kia. I still don't understand why it's gotten a lot better than it has been in years past when I used to do this rant. But I'll never understand, like, why do inexpensive automobiles have to look inexpensive? I mean, why can't you design a good-looking, inexpensive automobile? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. Auto manufacturers have gotten a lot better about designing their vehicles. But it used to be, especially in the 90s, like, you could look at a car going, that is a very inexpensive automobile, when you kind of just go, why didn't you design it to look better?
I don't know. My dad had a Tiburon, I think. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's actually what's one of the ones that pops into my head.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Especially if it was an older Tiburon.
Yeah.
Because they're fairly inexpensive.
Yeah.
And they're really ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, why just make it look good?
Yeah.
Just...
No, there you go. Sorry, Dad.
That's why I love my Kia, because my Kia looked like a knockoff of the Chevy that they used to run in NASCAR. Like, the grill of my car, if you put them side by side with that from, you know, like 2012, 13, 14, it looked like it was lifted from that. I was like, hey, you know, but it's more inexpensive, though, than the Chevy was. All right. Speaking of cars, we'll share this one with you briefly. There is a car that can run 600 miles on a tank of salt water. So while you're going to be purchased to buy a new EV,
are you serious?
There are. I'm not kidding.
What, is it running on a Dead Sea battery?
I'll give you.
How about that one?
I see you didn't leave your sense of humor in Florida.
No. Came back.
You're really proud of that one, aren't you? All right. More producer Robbie's dad jokes. Minneapolis is offering incentives for EV chargers and new garages. We're going to tell you why this is going to make your home more expensive. And we'll be joined by a conservative online commentator, A.K. Kamara, coming up on Twin Cities.